Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nikki Javala does a great job covering the team for the Washington Post. She joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. And I'm sitting there scrolling through your X timeline from the last couple of days, and it's so true. You retweeted something, the Zuerlein 54-yard field goal, essentially at the gun on Christmas Eve to beat Washington 30-28. If that kick goes awry, as his kick, by the way, Sunday did against Denver, Washington does not have Jaden Daniels. I don't know who they have. Maybe Drake May. Maybe J.J. McCarthy. Maybe Bo Nix. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. Who knows? But we're not sitting here having the conversation that we're about to have. It really is such a fine line league. And that kick, you retweeted it, just barely slipped through the left upright.
Yeah. No, I know. I told them they should, like, honor him or something. Like, name the special teams meeting room after Greg Zuerlein or something. Like, the man deserves his due, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. All right. What are you most surprised by through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Oh, man. Quite a bit. I mean, I knew Jaden Daniels would be good. I think just in watching his tape from LSU and talking to a lot of folks, and I'm certainly not the first person to say that they thought Jaden Daniels would be good. I didn't think he would be this good, this fast, this early. Now we'll see if he can sustain it, but, you know, the week three performance was no fluke. What he did last weekend was no fluke. He's going to have bumps in the road, no doubt. But he's playing pretty freaking well for a rookie, and he just looks comfortable. He looks poised. I know everybody's throwing around that word quite a bit, but to see such decisiveness from a young player so early in their career is remarkable, really. So that has surprised me. And then on the flip side, I would say I honestly thought the defense would be better to start, better than the offense, but better overall. And they started to put it together in this last game, so that was promising. But the front four, wasn't quite sure how they would look with two new ends, really. And it's, you know, you certainly haven't seen the production that you want out of that front four. Dorrance Armstrong really came through in the last game. Still want to see more out of John Allen and Deron Payne. But they're making progress. But I thought that group would be a little bit further along.
Yeah, I think that for me, that's the biggest surprise through four games. And I'm still a little skeptical after Sunday because they got gashed on the ground. And the quarterback, for some reason, refused to run, or they refused to call any runs or even option runs for him. I thought it would be much improved. You know, not top 10 where it was 2 years ago, but I thought it would be much improved, and it isn't. What do you have a sense as to, with respect to Jaden, if they're surprised about this?
About what he's been able to do?
Yeah. Or, I mean, I know that they were confident,
yeah,
but do you have a sense as to whether or not they're a bit blown away by the start as well?
Yeah, I don't think they expected him to be shattering NFL records in his first four games. I don't know that any team could reasonably expect that going in. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes, like, that wasn't the expectation in his, you know, first 2 years. I mean, he started, what, week 16 of his rookie season and then started the next one. But that wasn't the expectation going in. So, I think he's definitely exceeded it. I think he's fulfilled a lot of like hopeful expectations they've had for him, just with his work ethic and the way he handles himself, the way he is around the other players. He sort of has like this gravitational pull with the other guys, and it's not something you can really teach in anybody, you know, let alone a quarterback. It's just either you kind of have that charisma or you don't. I'm socially awkward, so I don't. but you can see how he interacts with the guys. You can he builds that respect with both, you know, the likes of Doug Williams as well as other rookies on the roster. You know, he can joke around but also command the respect from Bobby Wagner. I mean, I think it takes a rare personality, a rare person to be able to do that, and, you know, pair it with his skill set, his work ethic, it's really, you know, an ideal combination.
You know, don't worry. Social awkwardness is totally offset by confidence, just so you know. And I would also say about him, and I'm wondering if you think this is the best description, because I think you essentially just described it this way. Dan Quinn said there's this very kind of hard thing to reach, which is inspiring confidence because you know you're good, but being able to do it as a young person with a level of humility that doesn't, you know, put off sort of an arrogant tone. Is that what he is?
Yes, 100%. I mean, and that too is a fine line, you know, being confident without cocky, being sure of yourself without being arrogant, or especially for a young player coming off as though you think you know everything, you think you have it all figured out. He does not come off like that at all. He does know quite a bit, as we've seen, but he doesn't give that air. And I think that's a big reason he's able to, you know, really earn the respect that he has among, you know, the veterans that are, you know, like Bobby Wagner's, you know, Hall of Famer, and he's earned the respect of Bobby Wagner. I think that says quite a bit. I think he's one that really knows the balance there. He's very self-aware from what we've seen so far. And I say that knowing I don't know these guys truly. We know what we see in the locker room, on the practice field, in the games, you know, in the pressers. But we don't truly know any of these guys on a personal level. But from everything we've seen, he seems incredibly self-aware, which is, again, pretty remarkable for his age and giving everything that's been placed upon him. This position's a pressure cooker, especially here where this market has longed for a reliable quarterback for so long.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you've been here for all the bad stuff. I mean, how much different? I mean, I have a sense of it, too, from a slightly different seat. But what's it been like here over the first 4 weeks of the season to see this kind of a reaction?
Pretty wild. You know, you feel like you're watching a completely different team, and it makes you realize, like, you know, I know much of this team is different. They overhauled like 60% of the roster, but there's still a number of pieces that they've had for years, and you realize it had a number of good pieces. That position is so important anymore. I mean, it's rare that you can win and win consistently with I hate even using the word elite because it's just become a subject of debate, but it's true. Like, there's the elite, there's the very good, and a very good can take you pretty far, but can't take you all the way. And that's the difference. And, like, I don't think they've reached, you know, very good at any stage over the time that I've been here. And I say that with all due respect to the quarterbacks that have come through, but you see it in their play, you see it in their record. Like, it just hasn't gotten there. And when someone like Jaden Daniels, who is rare, I think, even after four games, I feel comfortable saying that, you see the difference. It's complete 180.
It's such a great point, and not that it isn't, you know, something that other people are thinking about, but it's worthy of emphasis. Like, it's so obvious just watching this team in the first four games. If you're one of those people that think, yeah, don't swing for a big quarterback, you know, build up the offensive line, build up the defense, and then, you know, trade back, and no, the quarterback position is so far and away the most important position in this sport. Like, it's not even a conversation anymore. And in this particular case, he's not only elevated the product on the field, he's elevated, like, the entire organization and, you know, I think a big part of the fan base.
100%.
That's been illustrated. Yeah.
I mean, the value add, that's why when there's so much debate about quarterback contracts, and I mean, it's all relative, right? You know, they're making very good money, but compared to every other position, they are worth every penny. The good ones are worth every penny. I mean, he's, you know, you add so much value to the business, the team, everything.
Yeah, somebody at the end of this year, if it continues to go the way it's going, will do this, you know, ROI analysis on what it's meant to revenue, top line, just not tickets, you know, concessions, parking, but, you know, all the other stuff. And and it'll more, I mean, on the rookie deal, it'll be an absolute home run. But you're right. There's no price on the best ones that is too high. You know, you said something, and we're talking to Nikki from the Washington Post. You said, like, you kind of feel like you already know. But do we really know at this point? Like, I asked this question last week, and we took calls on it. Like, when will you really know? Because four games, come on, it's the shortest of sample sizes. We would say about, we would have said about him 4 weeks ago, you know, it takes a year. Sometimes it's a second or third year. And now we're talking about four games we really know. And being as objective as we can be right now, and you are, I'm more of a fan than you are, although you grew up a fan, actually you did.
I did.
When will we really know, and what will make us realize that he is what we believe he's going to be right now?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I do think it takes time, and I think it's often difficult to separate him from all the other variables. You know, is what we're seeing because of, you know, I would never say with him, especially, like, oh, it's, you know, he's a system quarterback. I hate the notion of a system quarterback. Like, every quarterback is better when they're put in the right system that fits them. Right. I think that's such a, you know.
But would you say it's a lot of Kingsbury? But, would you,
right. I mean, they're figuring out how to best maximize his skill set. I feel confident that he's the closest they've had to the real thing, you know. In years, no doubt. Will this sustain? I think that depends on who they put around him. There's a lot on the quarterbacks, but it's not all on him. And if you don't give him, you know, consistently a good line, if you don't improve that defense, if you don't, you know, continue to give him, you know, quality receivers, then there's only so much one person can do out on that field, right? But is there going to be, like, an aha moment when we know? I don't know. I'm trying to think back to, like, when did we know that Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes? I don't know if there was a real point. I just think over the course of his first season, his second season, he just continued to wow people, you know? And I could see Jaden doing that. It is only four games. It's early. I think his body of work, though, starts in the spring, and he's continually progressed from there. Had this just been, you know, two great performances and we didn't have much else, fine. But I think for those that have been here, you could see him continually get better and show improvement throughout, so it doesn't feel like a flash in the pan type deal.
I'm going to give you my answer to that question because I want to ask you what your guess is on how he'll handle this. For me, it's how he handles that first legitimate adverse, you know, adversity moment. You know, bad game, a bad couple of games, a couple of losses where he throws some picks or he fumbles, and there's criticism, and there's people are not falling all over themselves. And we know the NFL changes so quickly, and our fan base so fickle. I personally think that he's built to handle something like that. By the way, Mahomes has never faced adversity. I went back and looked at, like, all the great ones. Mahomes and Marino are really the two that just started off great, and it just never, ever dipped significantly at any point without, the resume already there. So adversity would be my answer.
I would agree with that. I would say when Mahomes was playing on virtually one leg and had no receivers in the Super Bowl and still gutted it out, I thought that was
right, but he had already had the resume at that point.
Sure, totally. And I agree with you. That's why I think there was so much emphasis on this, one interception, which has taken on a life of its own. You want to throw as the most, the interception heard around the world. But I think that's why it became so important, is everybody wanted to see how would he respond. Could he bounce back? Would he let it fester? Would it linger to the next play? And would this sort of snowball? Because we've seen it how many times, especially with young quarterbacks, where they kind of get in their head, or, defenses start to figure them out after a couple games where they got stuff on tape. So to see him bounce back and not really get flustered, it wasn't necessarily a surprise, but it was definitely good to see. But that is just one throw. I agree.
Yeah. I don't categorize that as adversity. I think they won 42-14, so there's nobody walking away from that.
Right.
Like he isn't. I just wonder, how do you think he will handle it if he does face it for real? Like a couple of games, couple of losses, and they're kind of on him. And you've been around him more.
Yeah. No. And I the thing with him, I think it's interesting, is he's always sort of that same level. And I know that sounds cliche. It's what every coach says. It's, he's so even keeled. He's calm and collected. But the guy is the same tone in every presser, like every single one. Like, he just set a record for, completion percentage. And you probably couldn't tell if he won or lost the game based on his press conference. But I think that's a good thing. And you'd like to think that's how he would handle his first really big test in the NFL, is, keep it the same. Don't get too high, don't get too low, because that can affect the guys around you. You've got to move on to the next play. That's my best guess. Again, none of us really truly know these guys, but, he has faced some adversity in his college career leaving ASU. I think that Florida game was, probably the best example, literally concussed the week before, comes in and, puts on a show. But we'll see. I think there are a lot of signs that indicate that he would handle it quite well.
We are talking to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post. So, do you think their short-term goals, as in 2024, have changed?
No. I think it'd be foolish to say that their short-term goal was, merely to win, a certain number of games.
I feel like every
team wants to win it all, whether you truly suck or you're actually great. So I don't think they do. I think they know they're still quite...
Oh, we lost Nikki there.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we have Nikki back?
I'm back.
Okay, I got you back now. I was just saying, we had these conversations before the season started. Like, I think people that thought, we're going to go in there and think, let's just really get to the end of the year with 6 or 7 wins and think that the arrow's pointed up. No, that's not the way these people think. And they shouldn't think that way in the NFL, because it happens every year that 3 or 4 teams that aren't supposed to be very good end up in the postseason. Let me ask you, what's possible now that you've seen them in 4 games? This year.
Yeah. Honestly, anything. I mean, they look like the best team in the NFC East right now. I think they began the season with many thinking they'd be the, you know, if not one of, with the Giants, you know, the worst team in the NFC. So they've surpassed my expectations there. And again, I like, you look at Houston last season. Nobody expected that. I feel like sort of anything's possible. Now, do I really think after four games they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, but anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. Thank you, Kevin Garnett. But I want to get you on record. What's possible after week four? My answer was division title and at least one playoff win.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Totally. Yes. Put me down for that. Yeah.
I know you got to run. I always enjoy the conversations. Hope you're well. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep, Nikki Javala, everybody, from The Washington Post, at Nikki Javala on X, and Nikki spells her last name. It's Nikki with an I, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. Follow her on social media. She's great. All right, appreciate that. When we come back, I did look at a couple of things yesterday, sort of after the fact on the All-22. Not a film expert, okay, like so many people are on the internet these days, but there were a couple of observations that I did not make in my game take yesterday that I wanted to mention. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.